Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Monday, June 27th. Only a couple days left of June. Then we have a nice month of July before it is officially football season. I know the season doesn't start till September, but August is two-a-days training camp. That's where all these shows are going to come out and tell you who's going to win the national championship based on absolutely fucking nothing. And without a clue as to what they're talking about, but that's the time of year it is. That's what we get, and that's what they do. So we're here for it. A day closer to football season is a day we welcome, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Chris, there's some wild stuff going on right now in the world of recruiting, in the world of NIL deals, and I think what's the craziest thing that happened today is this attorney, right, that represented this quarterback, what's his name? The big-time four-star quarterback from is going to Miami instead of Florida, right? So that's the Jaden Rashada kid. And his lawyer came out and was basically saying he left money on the table, right, going to Miami over Florida, where he was offered $11 million to go to Florida. He's going to get $9.5 million to go to Miami. And his representation, his attorney, is telling this to people in an interview, which is a blatant violation of all things name, image, and likeness.
Yeah,
promise a kid $9.5 million to go to Miami. You're not supposed to be allowed to do that. Now the problem is, we know it's happening. We know they're doing it, but to openly say it in the media in an interview is just like a major fuck you to the NCAA. They don't care, I guess, or he's just too stupid to know that you can't do that.
Yeah, we've entered a really weird space in college football. It's like NIL deals are like smoking weed in Ohio. It's like it's not legal, but everybody knows that everybody's doing it. Everyone's smoking weed. But what we're not trying to do is smoke in front of the police station. And that's what the attorney is saying by going in front, just openly admitting, like on record in interview, to all these NCAA infractions. Now NCAA is like, damn it, like now do we have to do something? Like, can
that's the question, right? Like, that is a violation of rules, and he admitted it. So, a swift investigation, find it out. The kid's ineligible. The schools are in trouble. The collectives are blown up. Like, that's what should happen, right? That's if it's actually against the rules. If the NCAA has half a spine and they're going to sit there and say, "All right, these are the guidelines. You have to adhere to them," right? They've already created the Wild Wild West. But if nothing comes of this, it is just an admission by the NC2A that they don't give a shit. They're not policing anything. Do whatever you want. And so there's a lot of onus on the NCAA right now. And there's a lot of eyes in compliance departments across the country, specifically Ohio State's strict ass compliance department. They're going to watch and say, well, we're going to get them, right? The bad guys, the bad guys just told you that they were being bad guys. Let's go get them. And when nothing happens, these compliance departments are going to be like, what do you want us to do? What are we supposed to do?
Yeah, Zach, if nothing happens, like, do you think other schools are looking around? Because this Jaden Rashada recruitment has been very, very odd. Because at one point, he was considered a longtime Florida lean. Like, people even thought he was a silent Florida commit. I mean, he's a top 50 kid. Some people think he's going to be a five-star. Good, good player. And all signs were pointing to Billy Napier in Florida. And then in the middle of the night, this thing flipped around. And the dollar amounts coming out, Florida was like, oh, shit, okay. So Miami outspent us. And the lawyers coming out, no. Miami didn't outspend you. Your dollar amount was $9.5 million. Ours was $11. The issue was we don't trust Florida. And in saying that, that's alarming, Zach. And the question is, how much is a quarterback worth? How much would you be willing to spend on a five-star quarterback or a four-star?
Well, I think that before we get to that part of the conversation, I think the what's really what's happened here, and I said it when it first got instituted, is now you're not recruiting a kid and his family anymore. You're recruiting his agent, his representation, his management company. You have to recruit them almost harder than you have to recruit the kid, because the kid hires this guy, this random attorney out in California to represent him. And now you got to win that guy over to get the kid. All you've done is you've created a middleman. You've created what used to be sometimes a street agent or a high school coach. Somebody's that was involved. Uncle. You've now made it some lawyer in fucking California who's collecting a percentage of this kid's money. It's just, it's sickening where this is going. And if honestly, if you didn't see it coming, are you dumb or naive? Because that's the only two options. This is obviously going to be what happened. Guys are obviously being offered NIL deals to go to certain schools. And now we've created this market for agents to siphon money from kids and make decisions for or advise kids on decisions on where to go to school. Mm-hmm. It's the dumbest shit ever. And the fact that we're here, it sickens me for the industry and the game, but I'm so fucking glad I'm not in it. Because it is a train wreck. Talking to some of these coaches out there, I had over the weekend probably three different conversations, three different schools, three different friends of mine, and they're all like, bro, be glad you got out when you did, because this shit is nutty, like nuts. And it's crazy. But to your second question, Chris, how much is a big-time quarterback worth? Everything. I mean, everything. I don't even, you can't put a dollar amount on it. I mean, you look at the quarterback salaries in the NFL, it's the same value to a top 25 program. I mean, a place like Miami or Florida, they get a difference maker quarterback and they can surround him with some talent, maybe a little bit of line help. And all of a sudden, they totally transform their program, right? It's like if Trevor Lawrence, let's play hypothetical, let's say he went to Miami out of high school, entirely different trajectory of the entire program forever. Mm-hmm. So what is he worth? Depends on where your program's at, right? If you're Ohio State, you get CJ Stroud, or you get the fifth best guy, you might be able to survive having just an above average quarterback. But you're Miami, you're Florida, you're dying. Your program is on the decline. You're trying to get it to spike back up. So 10 million, 15 million, I'd say that's going to be the market for a quarterback until they get their reins on this thing.
It's interesting, Zach, because I wonder how this market thing is going to affect the future of who commits when, because it used to be five-star quarterbacks used to commit really, really early because they wanted to be, you know, program builders. Nico committed early, and up until this weekend, at least publicly, he was the one that had the highest NIL deal. Tennessee, $8 million to go there, right? Now, a kid who's ranked below him by every single service, just got an offer for 11.5 and then the 9.5 as well. So it's like, now it feels like because guys are committing elsewhere, schools like Miami, like Florida, are upping the price tag they're willing to pay to get a guy in now. And I'm curious to see, are we going to start seeing guys commit much, much later? Because it used to be quarterbacks were kind of the first one in, or one of the first ones in. Now I can see a trend where to collect the most money, because now we're talking about generational wealth, Zach, for high schoolers. It's about them kind
of. But it makes you wonder, right? Like, As we are an Ohio State-centric show, right? That's where most of my ties are. I'm here in Columbus, so that's where most of our focus is. It makes you wonder, like, where is Ohio State at right now in this NIL race? Because they got a commitment from Dylan Raiola, like the five-star all-everything quarterback. And you have to think either one, the kid would have waited to see all these. I mean, you're talking about $12 million. That's, like you said, generational wealth. I don't give a fuck where you go to school. Your family's set. You're set for life if you're smart with your money. And so you're sitting here saying, are we really that naive as Ohio State fans, right? For the Buckeye fans watching the show, are you really that naive to think like Jim Harbaugh does about Michigan? Like, no, Dylan Raiola came here because he sees what Ryan Day can do with him and he's investing in his future. Like, you're fucking nuts. $12 million? Fuck that. There ain't no investing in shit. That kid is taking money. So do we have that set up at Ohio State right now? And is it just being done properly where you're not hearing about it? There's no headlines. There's no lawyer talking about it on TV. None of that. Is Ohio State
literally? I got into Spaces on Friday, and there was the Miami booster was on Spaces bragging about getting these guys deals, like these high schoolers, like on Spaces.
So I'm saying, like, you can only sell the development and the program so much. When you start talking about eight-figure deals, it's like, yeah, I know Ohio State will develop you for the NFL, but fucking, we're talking eight figures. So that's one side of it. Is Ohio State playing this game right now? I know Michigan's not, but they also aren't landing shit for recruits. Ohio State's landing recruits. Are they playing the game? Are they bagged up? Do they have bag men? Do they have contracts? Do they have seven, eight figures getting thrown out there? Or are these kids going to get poached on the back end for eight figures, right? That's the other side of it, because a commitment is not a commitment. It's not a marriage, which I guess nowadays people get married and fuck other people anyway. So what is that commitment? But a commitment is not a true to the sense of the word, right? You can commit to Ohio State. Dylan Raiola committed to Ohio State. Woohoo! Yeah. Doesn't mean shit until he signs a piece of paper, right? So from now until then, are there going to be massive contracts thrown at him to look elsewhere? Arch Manning's going to Texas. What does that bag look like? And I know all the people are going to say, well, Peyton and Eli, he doesn't need the money. It's like, eh, it's still an eight-figure deal for an 18-year-old.
I think he's NIL, but he's going to get the NIL deals anywhere. I think he's one of those guys that's excluded.
But my point is what is he getting at Texas, right? Why did he pick Texas? Was it just for development? Because he thinks he can get NIL, national NIL deals no matter where he goes. I can buy that with Arch Manning. But Dylan Raiola, right? You need some boosters to chip in. You need him to pony up.
No, for sure. And the Dylan Raiola thing is interesting, and it adds an extra point, Zach. How much is the development of Ryan Day worth? Like, say we give Dylan Raiola $6 million. But you say Ryan Day is worth about $4 million in development. Is that a better deal? Is getting Ryan Day and $6 million, is that a better deal than getting Billy Napier and $11 million at Florida?
Well, it's no different than, Chris, if I said, all right, I could give you $5 million right now, or right, I'll give you $1 million and then the chance to win 10. Which are you gonna take? You take the five in the hand, right?
But are you gonna help me win 10?
But the point is, the kid could snap his leg in seven places and never play it down again. Right. It could all be over. So you take the money, the guarantee. That's why all these NFL players want guaranteed contracts, because they know nothing is guaranteed outside of the future's not guaranteed. So take the guaranteed money now. Like, is Ryan Day's development worth $5 million? Absolutely. It's worth way more than that. But what if you get beat out? What if you're not the starting quarterback? What if you get hurt and never play again? What if you get paralyzed? Like, so many things can happen, knock on wood, that none of it happens to any of these kids. But you take the money up front. It's guaranteed.
I guess I'm on the other side, and of course, it's not being waved in front of my face. I think I would take a Ryan Day and $5 million over, you know, going to Miami and $11 million. I think that gets that'll get parlayed into more, and I think I'll have a chance to leave elsewhere if I do get beat out. Now, the injury thing is a big part.
Everyone thinks that, Chris. Every quarterback every year thinks that. 75% of them are not going to get developed and make it to the NFL because the guy that comes out, the cream of the crop, takes the job. It's no longer is it just you're guaranteed that. Right. And you're talking about a quarterback. Now, receiver, you play three, right? I don't have to be the best. I could be the second best or the third best, and I'm going to play and possibly have a shot at the NFL. But quarterback, there's one. So, if you're really that, I don't want to say cocky, but you're that confident that you're going to be that guy while Ohio State is signing five-star quarterbacks every year now. So that not only Dylan Raiola might be the best one in the room when he enters the room, but a year later, fucking Cam Newton meshed with Peyton Manning might walk through the door. Like, we might have a hybrid we've never seen before. And that fucking Dylan Raiola is sitting on the bench. Like, Quinn all Manning. Those things are possibilities, right? And so do you take the money up front? Or do you risk it all? Yeah. It's like playing roulette, black or red. Pick one.
Yeah.
Sure enough, that double zero pops up, and no matter what, you're fucked.
Well, almost fucked, because if you take the $5 million plus Ryan Day, you're still walking away with a good amount of change.
Yeah, you are. That's true.
Definitely heard that. So these kids obviously are making a decision that could go one of two ways, but either way, they're walking away with lots of money, no matter how you slice it. And Mario Cristobal, there's a comment in there. Mario Cristobal is... He's doing well. I mean,
I've been telling people Mario Cristobal is gangster. He's like Mel Tucker. He's down in Miami. He's got that swagger that like he's a gangster. He belongs in the Sopranos show. Like he is running shit down there. He is the king of South Beach.
And didn't he go through like CIA training also? So he's like,
probably, oh, I don't know. Yeah. He strikes me as that training. Just a few times I've interacted with him. I'm like, this fucker, he probably could kill me.
Yeah, you met Mario?
Huh?
You met Mario a couple times?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, where'd you meet him at?
I met him just out recruiting when he was at Alabama. Oh, gotcha. And then I met him when he was the head coach at Oregon. Might have been at a convention, but yeah, he was him and I stood there and watched Noah Brown at Pope John whatever high school in New Jersey. We watched Noah Brown do a private workout right next to each other. And
did he want Noah, he or did you go, you went and got him?
Went and got who? Noah?
No, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, did he not want Noah? Did he not?
Yeah, they didn't offer Noah. And he watched the same workout as I did. And I'm sitting here watching it, like, what the fuck are you watching? This kid's a freak. And he was. I mean, Noah was a really good player. If he didn't break his leg, he would have been that much better.
Yeah, and he's been able to stick on the NFL a long time.
He's still playing.
Yeah, never any rumors.
I'm telling you, he was a great player.
Mm-hmm. No, he was. I mean, that 2016 game against Oklahoma never gets talked about.
Yeah, see, some of these guys, you reflect on their careers in college, and they're tainted by things you don't think about. Like, Noah Brown would have been he would have been a draftable, higher draft pick receiver if he played for Ryan Day and Ryan Day's offense. He played in Ed Warner's fucking offense. Like, good luck. Good luck getting anywhere.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, that Oklahoma game was unreal. Like, unreal. I mean, he was getting open and then the window was closing because JT Barrett was late on some stuff and he was still making crazy plays. I mean, he looked unguardable. I thought he was heading for an Olympic off. You know, that was me overreacting from his couch in Cleveland. Yeah, well, like, just absolutely.
That was one of many hills you died on.
Oh, I didn't actually die on that hill. I was just then waking up. I love Noah Brown. Underrated blocker too. Never gets talked about.
No, he's a great blocker.
Yeah, big time blocker. All right, Zach. Another question about these recruits. What happens when we get a late riser? I keep thinking about like the Jack Miller and TJ Stroud recruitment because they were in the same class. Jack Miller committed early. You know, he got off to a really hot start in Arizona football. And then TJ Stroud came a lot later and was able to obviously, you know, continue this torch for the program moving forward in the right way. Mm-hmm. What happens if we get one of these late risers at Ohio State or somewhere else? Does the school have the balls to tell a kid or tell the collective, we have to change this NIL deal? We can't give that kid that because this kid we think is a lot better. Almost like when a kid at one point is takeable and the next point is not.
Well, what you've created is just an absolute train wreck for any type of regulation. I mean, Ohio State has started their own fund basically to get kids NIL deals, right? Mm-hmm. And so now you're creating dialogue between coaches and boosters. It's like the one thing you don't want, right? You never wanted in college athletics boosters with a lot of money and passion to connect with athletes and coaches, because then it just infests your program. It infects it.
Yeah.
And so what you've done now is not only have you allowed it, you're forcing it. You're making them infect the program. I mean, they have to be involved now. The coach, Ryan Day, has to talk to these collectives, these foundations, and tell them who they want. Otherwise, you just have Brian Schottenstein out there giving deals to people, and then Brian Hartline's over here on the other side going, what the fuck did he offer him money for? I don't even like that kid. Right? There has to be dialogue now. And so it's the tragic state of college football, it and it's a no, shit it show train wreck, and I'm fucking here for it because it is entertaining as hell.
No, I figured you'd absolutely love it. It's a mess. And usually, I mean, in my memory, whenever you get kind of boosters getting involved with coaches and they connect, you end up with that Miami 30 for 30 about the booster that was running out on the field with them and about the mess that came with that kind of set.
I mean, think about it, Chris. Miami had a booster that was taking recruits out on a yacht, feeding them drugs and getting them hookers. As bad as that is, the NCAA has basically said, hey, that guy, the hooker guy, come on in. You want an office? You can meet with him. Do whatever you want. Just make sure they're tens. I'm talking high dollar hookers because it's legal.
That's well, not legal.
Hooking's yeah. not legal, but boosters being involved is legal. Yeah. So,
which is anything really illegal? Like, is anything actually illegal? Like, what are we talking about here?
Well, there's things that are illegal. Trust me.
All right, Zach, I kind of want to flip the script. I want to move on a little bit, talk about Ohio State here for a quick sec. So Ohio State's had a lot of success kind of skill position and quarterback wise on the recruiting trail. They had a big recruiting weekend, but obviously, like, you land the three receivers and everyone's asking, what about the defense? What about the O-line? What about the D-line? Are we turning into a finesse team? Are we turning into a Big 12 team? Are we the old Baylor? Zach, you can either calm these nerves or you can let us know. Is Ohio State becoming a finesse team?
No, they'll never become a finesse team. Not Ryan Day's just not a finesse guy. I think they softened up a year ago, and that's kind of why they weren't as tough. I think they had a lot of dynamics on the coaching staff with the defensive staff and just everything going on that made it really difficult. Because what happens is you get these staffs, right? And it's all your focus, your whole focus as a staff is try to find alignment, right? Everyone on the same page, doing their job, handling their business so that you can have the highest whatever output, right? The greatest efficiency success and output. Mm-hmm. And so when you don't have that, so many things suffer. And you can't always just point a finger at one thing. I talked about Bill Davis as a linebacker coach, right? He is a really good football coach. We can, at Buckeye Nation, can just hate the guy. They can just, you know, hang their hat on. He's fucking terrible. He was actually pretty good at recruiting, learning, right? Longtime NFL guy, but he's a great teacher and great football coach. But all of a sudden, he sucks. Why? Because there was not alignment on the staff. So you look at the same thing, right? Like, is Mickey Marotti to blame because the team was soft against Michigan? I mean, kind of. But at the same time, when you don't have alignment on staff, right? Your defensive coaches aren't doing a good job. The players don't buy into defense. Then when they go in the weight room, they have a shitty attitude. They're not buying in the weight room. And then it's harder on Mickey Marotti. He has to then massage those feelings and try to still develop toughness. Like, so many things go wrong and go on that you can't always say, like, oh, the receiver sucked. It's Brian Hartline's fault. It's like, okay, yes, ultimately, which obviously they didn't suck, but if they did, that would fall on Brian Hartline. But you need to, as a head coach, Ryan Day, you need to dig deeper and find out why was the team soft last year? And the simple answer is not like Mickey Marotti didn't beat him up enough in the offseason. It's deeper than that. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of one of the things that I think is important about how this stuff works.
Do you think this team has the personnel for the personality of a mean, nasty team? Or is that something that's kind of yet to be seen?
I mean, I think they're going to need to have that. And getting to, I guess, to fully answer your question that you asked, that's Ryan Day is a tough ass. Like, he's a tough dude and he wants a tough team. And that didn't happen last year, but make no mistake, that is the goal and that is the product he wants to put on the field. You can see it in how he handles his business with coaches taking shots at his program, with everything going on, even NIL stuff. He's very square jawed, to the point, gets it done. And he's a tough ass fucking dude. And so fixing the issues he fixed on defense, hopefully, will allow the program to go back to where Ryan Day wants it and Mickey Marotti drives it. And that is a tough-ass, gritty football team that is also going to throw the fucking ball all over you, right? Because that is the identity of a Ryan Day offense. It is not some Baylor basketball on grass, like cheerleaders in skirts throwing it around. It's none of that shit. It is a tough-ass fucking team that'll run the ball and also can throw it 60 times and put up 70 points. That's what Ryan Day's identity is on offense. They just have to get back to that.
Do you think Ryan Day's team, like, looking back historically, will be remembered as tougher than Urban Meyer's team, or we don't know yet?
I don't know yet. It'll be tough to do because Urban had such a pound your face into the wall identity on offense. I mean, literally JT Barrett with a torn meniscus, like pounding the ball for 3 yards on quarterback split zone. I mean, it's just like, it's like Woody Hayes. Whose team was tougher, Urban's or Woody Hayes? Well, Woody Hayes, but they ran the ball every play and everyone just smashed their face into a brick wall every play. So it's not really fair. Urban's team would have beat Woody's team by 50 fucking points, right? So probably not, but ultimately, are they tougher kids? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's yet to be seen, but it's possible that Ryan has a tougher program.
Was the addition of Justin Fry partially to add to the toughness of the offense? Because when you watch his teams out at UCLA and at Boston College, there was a very nasty, mean running scheme out there. And I'm curious if bringing him kind of helps that perception. It helps bring more toughness to the identity of a Ryan Day program.
Oh, it definitely toughness and recruiting. And he's also an expert. I mean, I think everyone knows my thoughts on Fry as a position coach. He's the best in the country. But here's what Justin is and why he brings it. Because it's easy to just say, oh, I'm going to be a tough-ass coach. I'm going to yell and scream at these motherfuckers all day long, and they're going to be tough. It's like, okay, cool. It's not going to work, but sounds good. Like, Justin is energetic, right? He's not lazy like some other coaches, right? He's energetic. He coaches with a fire and passion, and he's fucking smart. You have to be smart. People lose sight of that. You can't be an average intelligence, lazy fat guy and coach O-line and think you're going to have a great line. You can't. You got to be smart enough to stay with the smartest player and to coach and teach a high-level player. Because some of these centers and shit, like Pat Elflein's smart as fuck. Mm-hmm. If you're not smart, good luck coaching that kid. So Justin's smart. He coaches with that passion. And so that's why he was brought on, to increase the toughness, right? Have better development, fundamental development, and then he's got to hit recruiting. And so that was the value in bringing him here.
And I think a lot of fans don't realize those things will happen in reverse order. The last thing that's going to happen is going to be the recruiting prowess that we're going to see from Justin.
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, you know, the recruiting is yeah. a gift that you have. If you can do it well, you can do it well. I don't give a shit. I mean, it might take a year, but
yeah, I'm saying just to develop these relationships with these kids, I think we're going to see on the field work, the toughness aspect. And then, cause I mean, the kids that Ohio State wants him to get, you and I have talked about, it takes 2 years or a year to build those relationships with those guys.
Yeah. It takes money. Like that's the other thing we're not talking about. Like, where's the fucking Buick dealership offering all the linemen big ass trucks or whatever? Like, like it's no longer just a, hey, me and your mom are close. She trusts me with her baby. And now I'm going to get you to come to the Buckeyes. It's like, okay, cool. Where's my motherfucking truck? Where's my free car?
Yeah. Honestly, man, we need to focus getting NIL deals for the big men in the trenches, because those skill players are going to get them no matter what. I mean, they're the celebrities. They're the ones with the helmets out. So they're going to get those.
We need some, like, I don't know, smokehouse barbecue or something. Mm-hmm. We need some food places, maybe some truck places, Built Ford Tough or something, to get these linemen set up.
Some breakfast places like IHOP or something.
Come just on,
like,
man. You know they can do. Yeah, pancakes. What are we talking about? You can market linemen now. Mm-hmm. You can market linemen. Orlando Pace used to do commercials. Like, I know you can. They just got to figure out how to do it.
Or like Fries Guys. I mean, honestly, that's a Five Guys promotion right there. Just saying. Shaq's a big dude.
Shaq owns the bag, dropping the ball.
Yeah. Like, what, Shaq owns like 155 guys? He'll get in on that for sure. All right, Zach, there was a big recruiting weekend for Ohio State. Not a ton of noise, not a ton of excitement, not a ton of flashiness. Some fans are worried. Some people think it's strictly business. What was the number one thing you tried to accomplish when you guys were out, or when you guys had kids come in for official visits?
Well, you tried to seal the deal with kids, right? That's the whole point of bringing them on campus. Show them everything you have and make them, you know, attached to Ohio State. Make them fall in love. Make them decide while they're here in that moment that they want to be a Buckeye. That's the whole point of it. And they don't have to announce it that day. They don't have to come out and scream to the worlds like, I'm committed. Like, they just have to make the decision and it be deep rooted and in their core that they know this is where they want to go. Whether they tell the coaches or they just realize it, then it's a mission accomplished. And for every kid, it's different. For every recruit, it's different. How to get that done, what all you need to do, you know, what are the key points to getting that kid to realize that this is the place for him. So that's the goal. You bring all these high profile kids in, not only are you trying to get that, you're trying to get that done. And then also, if you can get enough of them to pop that weekend, you start to build a little family atmosphere amongst the class, where now you have four kids committed and that fifth kid sitting there like, damn, these dudes are cool. Like, all these great players are coming here, and they start to feel some like momentum or pressure. It's like an undertow sucking them out to sea, like, ooh, maybe I should too. And they start getting that feeling, and then they pop.
It's because, beginning a mob because mentality. Of that weight. Yeah. It's just like mob mentality. I mean, it's really cool. I do think it worked. Ohio State is going to see some recruits pop at some point here pretty soon. Zach, one question that I want to move into. Well, here we go. So the five-star kid from Georgia, Caleb Downs. You and I talked. It's looking good. We talked about it on the show a while ago. We expect Perry to do good things with that. Don't know when he's going to commit, but I know he's in decision mode. Next step. He's from Georgia. It's hard to pull kids out of Georgia, but my question to you is, who has better high school football, Georgia or Florida?
Ooh, that's entirely different worlds. You know, Florida has worse schools and worse coaching, you know, blanket statement. There's some outstanding programs and outstanding schools and outstanding coaches in Florida, but as a whole, they're far worse coached than Georgia players. A lot of that has to do with how much money they pay coaches. I mean, they don't pay them shit in Florida. They pay them decent in Georgia. So you go to Georgia football programs, more consistently, they are better coached, better run, better developed players, right? Now, as far as talent, there's, I don't know that there's a place in the world more talented than South Florida. It's just grades are an issue. The public school system sucks. The coaching's not very good at a lot of places. So who has more talent? South Florida. Who has better football players and better programs to go recruit? Definitely Georgia.
Heard. Zach, last question. Death being pointed at you. I got it out. We talked about it last week. I texted you. We were texting because you were with the kids. Who has the best deep ball out of the three Ryan Day quarterbacks? Dwayne Haskins, Justin Fields, or C.J. Stroud?
Well, I mean, I think it's tough to throw C.J. in there with the other two because his book is still being written, right? He still has a curtain call year. So I would say this is projecting that, you know, a year from now or next January, the answer will be C.J. Stroud. But it's not there yet, right? We haven't seen his finished product yet. And you're also talking about three exceptional deep ball throwers. So I think it could be C.J. Stroud in a year. We'll see. But right now, I think it's Dwayne Haskins. He had touch on the ball and just was, I mean, it was beautiful to watch. He had touch. He could put it anywhere he wanted to. His arm talent was insane. And that's not a knock on Justin, but Dwayne just was different when it came to throwing a football.
All right. Heard it from the guy. Zach, I got nothing left that I want to hit today. Do you have anything that you want to hit?
No, I just told Chris, though. I didn't say it publicly, but we're having a problem with our website where we post our podcast. I don't know what the fuck happened. I just saw it right before we went live. So this episode, the podcast episode, will be on Patreon. And it's not a money grab. It's the fucking website's crashed or something. So if you want the episode, it's on Patreon, patreon.com/menace2sports, the number two. It's only $5 a month. You get a custom RSS feed. You don't ever have to worry about a website or any other bullshit happening with Apple. So if you want the episode, go sign up there. It's $5 and you will never have to worry about it not being there. But some of these technical difficulties are nuts. So it will be up. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. Menace out.